right?
Prabhu is not in the call, Mataji. We can take more introductions.
You're very fortunate to have his greatness, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, on 4th canto, 30th chapter, and 1st verse onwards. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. And Vatnam, all Roshishla Prabhu and Guru Maharaj, thank you very so much for giving your valuable time and association with us this morning, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, you are able to hear?
Yes, Prabhuji, we are able to hear you. Thank you so much for joining the call this morning, Prabhuji. I would like to hand over the call to now. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Your voice is not audible enough, Mataji, I think.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Can you hear us, Prabhuji? We should be able to hear you, Prabhuji. I now hand over the call to you. Prabhuji, can you hear us, Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanwad pranam. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yes, Mataji, I'm able to hear you now.
Okay, thank you very so much for giving your valuable time and enlightening us on the topic, Prabhuji. I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Om Adhyana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Sharakaya Chaksharon Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavansha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitansha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Padidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4th, Chapter 30, The Activities of Prachetas, Text 1st. Vidura Uvacha Ye Tvaya Vihita Brahman Suta Prachina Barhishah Te Rudra Gitena Harim Siddhimapuhu Pratoshyakam. Word to word translation is like that. Vidura Uvacha, Vidura said, Ye, those who, Tvaya, by you, Abhihitaha, were spoken about, Brahman, O Brahman, Sutaha, sons, Prachina Barhishaha, O King Prachina Barhi, they, all of them, Rudra Gitena by the song composed by Lord Shiva, Harim, the Lord, Siddhim, success, Apuhu, achieve, Pratoshya, having satisfied, Kam, what? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O Brahman, you formerly spoke about the sons of Prachina Barhi and informed me that they satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting a song composed by Lord Shiva. What did they achieve in this way? Purport. In the beginning, Maitreya Rishi narrated the activities of the sons of Prachina Barhi. These sons went beside a great lake, which was like an ocean. And fortunately, finding Lord Shiva, they learned how to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting the songs composed by Lord Shiva. Now, their father's attachment for fruitive activities was disapproved by Narada, who therefore kindly instructed Prachina Barhi by telling him the allegorical story of Puranjan. Now Vidur again wanted to hear about Prachina Barhi's son, and he was especially inquisitive to know what they achieved by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here the words Siddhim Apu or achieved perfection are very important. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 3rd verse, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Out of many, many millions of people, one may be interested in learning how to attain success in spiritual matters. The supreme success is mentioned also in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, shloka 15, verse 15. Ma upetyatu punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmana sam siddhim paramam gataha. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection. And what is that highest perfection? That is also explained in that verse. The highest perfection is to return home back to Godhead so that one will not have to return to this material world and transmigrate from one body to another in the dream of material existence. By the grace of Lord Shiva, the Prachetas actually attained perfection and returned home, back home, back to Godhead after enjoying material facilities to the highest extent. Maitreya will now narrate that to Vidura. Hare Krishna. So I would like to welcome all the devotees of Japa Sangha Retreat USA and many other places in USA, and personally very grateful to share some of the insights of Srimad Bhagavatam on this day. For you it is good morning, and I think in India it is good evening, but today is Ekadashi, and Deva Uthan Ekadashi, Kartik Ekadashi, very much auspicious and very spiritually fruitful for all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas all over the world. Especially Vishwa Panchak is starting from today onwards. So it's a great opportunity to start our day with the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literally incarnation of Shri Krishna. And his chapter 30th of Canto 4th, first text, Vidur says, Vidur inquired from Maitreya, O Brahman, you formerly spoke about the sons of Prachina Barhi and informed me that they satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting a song composed by Lord Shiva. What did they achieve in this way? So, here we can see that Vidura, after hearing the entire story of Prachina Barhi and the Narad, the discussion about the spiritual life, and initially when Canto starts, here we see the Prachetas, they met Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva taught them. The Rudra Gita, the chapter we might have discussed, you all might have heard before. So after hearing Prachina Barhi's stories, again Vidura wanted to know what Prachetas they did after attaining their perfection. So now this 30th last chapter starts here. So we can understand here, one very important point Srila Prabhupada also recommends here, that they could satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Narayan, by the grace of Lord Shiva. So our today's topic will be the greatness of Lord Shiva. How Lord Shiva is so important and you know how great he is. So in purport also, Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains, fortunately Lord Shiva made them. Now here we know the story that, you know, King Prachin Barhi, he instructed the 10 Prachetadis sons that you are needed for our family business of Prajapati, taking care of this planet Earth as the kings. So before that, you go to the forest, you do your tapasya, please satisfy Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, and then you can do your duty very nicely. So here one point is very important to understand, that to attain perfection in any field, in our material sphere, the satisfaction of Lord Krishna is the vitally important. Because after only satisfying the Lord, we can perform our duties materially also very nicely, efficiently. And that's why we see
Prabhuji, we can
Krishna
hear you.
So there was a network problem. So here in this shloka we see how Srila Prabhupada says, fortunately they met Lord Shiva and then they satisfied Lord Shri Narayan and they attained the perfection. And Lord Shiva taught them how to please the Supreme Personality of God. So this is very important. Srila Prabhupada also, he writes in his purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, that what is the greatest fortune for a conditioned soul? And he says that to come in touch with the pure devotees of Shri Krishna, that is the highest blessings or greatest fortune someone can get in this conditioned life. And indeed, we are all very fortunate to attain the association of many pure devotees, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, and practice our bhakti and sadhana under their guidance. So Srila Prabhupada here says that they met Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva taught them how to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this is very important to understand what we should learn from our spiritual masters. We all have, you know, many of us have initiated by the bona fide acharyas of our sampradayas, practicing them their devotions to the best of their capacity. And what we are expecting to learn from our spiritual master. The only thing spiritual master is here for all of us is to teach us how to please Shri Krishna. That is the sole business and sole purpose and existence of spiritual masters all over the universe, to teach the disciples how to please Shri Krishna. And Lord Shiva, the bona fide Acharya, the Adi Guru, the Mahabhagavat, he taught Prachetas how to please the Supreme Personality of God. Because sole purpose of our existence, the purpose of our living is only one thing, is to please Shri Krishna. With our occupations, with our words, with our thoughts, with our actions, whatever we have, try to serve Krishna with that and try to please Him. So that's why our purpose is not to chant holy names. Our purpose is not to, you know, study Srimad Bhagavatam or speak Srimad Bhagavatam. No. By doing all these things, if Krishna is not pleased, that is not accepted as a bhakti. And we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Devanand Pandit was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Mahaprabhu was going with his associates from that same path, when he saw the ashram of Devanand Pandit where he used to teach Srimad Bhagavat, the Paramahamsa Samhita, and he was very scholarly, Satvik Brahmana of that time, might be a sannyasi also, he was a Pandit, but Mahaprabhu became so angry that he ran to beat Devanand Pandit and tear apart his Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you imagine? Why is this so? Because his service to Srimad Bhagavatam was not pleasing to Krishna. And that's why Mahaprabhu was very angry with that person. One more story we learn in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when Raghunath Bhat Goswami was on his way towards Jagannath Puri to to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Kashi. That time, Ram Das Vishwas, one very scholar, great Brahmin and very prestigious and very civilized Brahmin, was there with Raghunath Bhat Goswami. And he was always chanting the names of Lord Ram and glorifying Lord Ram and, you know, doing all the services to Raghunath Bhat Goswami. You know, he was taking care of his luggage and his meals and his comfort. So he was serving Raghunath Bhat Goswami like anything. And he was also very eager to meet Mahaprabhu. And when Raghunath Bhat Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, and thus Ramdas Vishwas was also there. So Mahaprabhu gave his all the mercy, affection and love to Raghunath Bhat Goswami. But he completely rejected that Ramdas Vishwas. Apparently, he was a very sincere devotee of Sri Ram. He was trying to serve to the best of his capacity to Raghunath Bhat Goswami, a very close associate of Mahaprabhu, one of the Shad Goswami. But Mahaprabhu rejected him. Because Raghunath Bhat Goswami was very amazed. He asked Mahaprabhu, why you are not showing his mercy, your mercy to this Ramdas Vishwas? So Mahaprabhu said, this Ramdas Vishwas, externally he appeared like a devotee, very sincere devotee, a Vaishnava. But internally, he wants to be Lord Ram. And that's why his bhakti is not at all pleasing. So same way, we all practitioners of sadhana, of Krishna consciousness, in a bona fide sampradaya with having a very bona fide process and a very perfect arrangement by Srila Prabhupada for all of us. Externally, we might endeavor very sincerely, but internally, what is the motivation? The motivation is not to please Sri Krishna. Then that bhakti will never be counted as a bhakti by Lord. And that's why here we learn very important thing what Srila Prabhupada is quoting in his purport, that they learned how to satisfy the supreme personality of Godhead by chanting the songs composed by Lord Shiva. So this is very important aspect of a guru and disciple relationship. The only purpose of guru is to teach disciples how to please supreme Lord. And the only duty of disciple is to learn from guru how to please the supreme Lord. Then that guru-disciple relationship is perfect and complete and fruitful. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is pointing out over here. And then Srila Prabhupada says, and this shloka is also mentioned, Siddhim Apuhu. What perfection they achieved. What they did after achieving their perfection. So when this kind of guru relationship is established, not only by Diksha, formality of Diksha, not just by, you know, following the principles of bhakti externally, but missing out the import of all these rules and regulations, some Siddhir Haritoshanam. When this kind of guru-disciple relationship is practiced very nicely, then what is the outcome? The shloka says, Siddhim Apuhu. They attained the perfection. And Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yati Siddhai. Srila Prabhupada quotes this shloka in this purport, that after many, many lives, thousands and thousands of people practicing or endeavoring for spiritual perfection, hardly one attained Siddhim Apu. He attained the perfection. And that's why this is the core principle. Whatever, just imagine we all, the devotees in ISKCON, every day we are chanting minimum 16 rounds. Means couple of hours minimum every day. Then having our deity worship and, you know, offering bhoga or reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and then association, satsang and kirtan. So at least, I think, you know, 3 hours at least minimum we spend for our spiritual activities. Every day 3 hours is a big time. And that too quality time. Early in the morning, with focused concentration we all do. And then our offerings and our deity worship and our home worship and kirtan and reading and hearing. Everything we try to do to the best of our capacity. That is good. But that is not all in all. With that, we need the intent of pleasing Sri Krishna. Then that combination produces Siddhim Apuhu. So if we want perfection in our spiritual practices, everyday chanting our rounds and, you know, chanting our Gayatri 3 times a day and working and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with the devotees and serving the devotees, so many activities we do. This is a body, but the soul is pleasing the Krishna. If they are not pleasing to Krishna, if our attitude is not up to the mark, if it's not aligned with the Guru Sadhu Shastra, then that will not create very favorable result for all of us. So to Apu, Siddhim Apu, to attain perfection, we need to go through this way. Pratoshya. Here, you know, the shloka says Pratoshya kam. After satisfying the Supreme Lord, what did they do? And what is Siddhi for all of us? Srila Prabhupada mentions the shloka of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, shloka, chapter 8, shloka 15. He says, Maam upetya punarjanma dukkhalaya mashashvatam. Napnuvanti mahatmana sam siddhim paramam gataha. That when we satisfy the Supreme Lord by learning from our spiritual masters, the perfection is that we go to that abode where there is no death. There is eternal life with eternal family and with eternal love. And that is what Siddhi is. And to attain that Siddhi, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we have got the association of many pure devotees. So we have got the vidhi also, the practice also, and the soul of that practice, the intent, the purpose of that practice also. So when these both are combined, we should attain by the grace of our spiritual masters and Guru Parampara, this ultimate Siddhi of going back home, back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, if someone sincerely takes to the process of devotional service with good intentions, that devotional service is so potent that for a sadhaka, there is no need to take another birth. In this same life, he can purify his all contamination and he can develop love for Krishna and can go back home, back to Godhead. No need to take another birth. Otherwise, generally we see in Srimad Bhagavatam many examples where at least 2-3 births, Jad Bharat, story we hear, and many other stories like, so at least three lives are mentioned. But Srila Prabhupada assures all of us over here that no need for that. If the intent and the vidhi, the sadhana, the practices are combined properly under the direction of bona fide spiritual master, the representative of Lord Shiva. And that is what Srila Prabhupada mentions here of Siddhim Apuhu, and quotes two shlokas from Gita, Manushanam Sahasreshu. And some siddhim paramangata, that they got the complete perfection. Now, this is very important to understand the position of Lord Shiva. Actually, the title of our today's class should be The Glories of Lord Shiva, Lord Mahadev, Lord Shankar. Because Srila Prabhupada in second canto purport, he gives the evolution of the soul on a spiritual path. Now, we all know that there are 84 lakhs of species, and in them, 4 lakhs are human species. And Srila Prabhupada says, how in that human species also soul evolves spiritually? So Srila Prabhupada says in a second canto purport that the primary process of human evolution is a Shakta. Shakta means those who worship Shakti or the material nature or goddesses Durga. And he gives the example like, you know, in jungles we see Adivasis, Aborigines, the backward people, human beings. For them, the object of worship is a huge mountain, the huge tree, or the lightning, or the fire. So they worship the energy, the prakriti, the material nature. So this is a very preliminary beginning of Shakta worship, or the worship of material nature or material energy, or worship of Durga Devi. And in modern world also, most of them are Shaktas. How? Because we are very much interested in the creations of illusions. Let's say, you know, social media we have, or there are many gadgets or many things created by this illusory potency of Lord, by our scientists, when we spend our time with them, when we misuse them, unnecessary time we spend with them, that time actually we are allured by, attracted by this material nature. And that is also indirectly Shakta worship or Upasana of Durga Devi or Shakti. So this is the primary stage of human evolution in spiritual subject. After Shakta, Srila Prabhupada says, then comes Saurya. Saurya means those who worship sun god. Now worshipping sun is also the aspect of material nature, but is little bit of ahead of that, because sun god is direct potency of Lord Shri Krishna. That's what Brahmaji says in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Saurya, they consider, now see, all these five, even they consider Shakta, they consider Shaktis all in all. Nothing is superior than that. Then those are Saurya, those who are worshipper of sun god. They say that sun god is all in all and worship of him is the ultimate goal of life. And then Srila Prabhupada says, third stage of evolution on spiritual life is comes Ganapatya. Ganapatya means those who worship Lord Ganesh. Now Lord Ganesh is the Vignaharta, but he is also Ganapati, the leader of many Ganas or people. So those who worship Lord Ganapati, they want many followers, they want many, they want publicity, they want, you know, in limelight, they want many followers and, you know, people following them after them as a celebrity status. So these people worship Ganapati, that's called Ganapatya. And in this modern world, we might remove this Vedic name like Shakta, Saurya or Ganapatya, but people, they are indirectly wanted to achieve the same result what Vedic literature says, that if you worship them, what you will gain. And then fourth evolution is called Shaiva. Shaiva means those who worship Lord Shiva as all in all, and they want Gyan and Vairagya. They want knowledge and renunciation. So these people, they worship Lord Shiva, Lord Shankar. And after going through all these four preliminary processes, finally comes the Vaishnava stage, where Lord Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavanmam Prapadyate Vasudeva Saromiti Samahatma Sudurlaba. That after many, many lifetimes, someone comes to this point that Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, is all in all and he is the ultimate goal and he is the source of everything. And this is the Vaishnava stage. Srila Prabhupada writes, until and unless going through this process as a commoner, we are common human, we are not exceptions. We are not extraordinary. We are ordinary human beings. So for all of us, we have slowly, gradually evolved from all these stages. From Shakta to Saurya, from Saurya to Ganpatya, from Ganpatya to Shaiva. And after attaining the blessings of Lord Shiva, we are in the service of Sri Krishna here in ISKCON. So this is a gradual step-by-step evolution, life after life. There may be some exceptions. There may be, you know, some pure devotees bestowing mercy on anyone and, you know, making them qualified immediately on the Vaishnava platform. But normally, ordinarily, for common jivas, this is the path of step-by-step evolution towards Lord Shri Krishna as being a devotee of Shri Krishna and servant of the devotee, Krishna and his devotees, Vaishnava stage. And that's what Srila Prabhupada, he writes. And after worshipping the Lord Krishna and his devotees, then the ultimate perfection of going back home back to Godhead is attained. So, this is what Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport of second canto. Now, many people, they worship, you know, these four, Shakta, Saurya, Ganpatya and Shaiva, for material purpose, for their material desires to fulfill and get, you know, whatever they want from all these deities. But a devotee, the devotee of Krishna, also worships all of them. Why? Because all these devatas, all these deities, they are very closely connected with Krishna. And Krishna cannot be worshipped alone. In a sadhaka stage, the blessings of all these are very much needed. And that's why we see even gopikas in Vrindavan, they are worshipping Katyayani Devi or Durga Devi. In Jagannath Puri, we have Bimla Devi. That's why it is called Maha Mahaprasad. That Jagannath Bhoga, Jagannath Prasad is offered to Bimla Devi. And this Bimla Devi's Prasad becomes Mahaprasad. And that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's name was Bimla Prasad, Bimal Prasad. So the devotees also, they worship, we are also Shaktas. We also worship Durga Devi because she is the mother of this entire material creation, Durga Devi. And we need her blessings to practice our Krishna consciousness perfectly. And why we respect Durga Devi, why we worship or honor Durga Devi, why we offer our pranams, the prayers and obeisances to Durga Devi? Because she is younger sister of Shri Krishna. We know in 10th canto, Shri Krishna, after, you know, his pastime of taking birth in the prison cell of Kamsa, and then Durga Devi taking birth at Nandagaon, Gokul. And Krishna blesses her that because you have served me in this way, and she transferred Sankarsan, Lord Balarama, in the womb, from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. And all these services, Krishna says, all over the world, people will worship you as Vindhyachalavasini and many other names. So she is called Anuja. Anuja means younger sister of Shri Krishna. She is also called Vaishnavi, Vaishno Devi, many people go. She is also called Narayani. Sarvamangala Mangalle, Shive Sarvar Sadike, Sharanne Trambaki Gauri, Narayani Namosute. She is the personal potency of Shri Krishna. And Krishna says, Daivi Hesha Gunamai, Mama Maya Durateya. My Maya is very difficult to overcome, but Mamevaya Prapadyante. Those surrender unto me, Maya Metam Tarantite. They can cross ocean, they can cross over this illusory energy of mine. So she is very personal energy of Shri Krishna. And she is so intimately related to Krishna in many of his pastimes. And that's why we honor, worship, and we adore Durga Devi related to Shri Krishna as her very personal potency and servant. Then Saurya, we all know Shri Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that Vivasvan Manve Praha, I spoke this knowledge first to Sun God Vivasvan. So he is our Adi Guru, Gita's knowledge is coming through him. And that's why all the devotees and Vaishnavas in the Nitya Karmas, they offer their prayers to Sun God. And Surya Narayan is there inside. The presiding deity of Sun is Narayan himself. So that's why Sun God is also very much worshipper for all of us. And daily also we offer our prayers to Sun God. And Gayatri chant, that is also in one way is offered to Sun God. So that is how we Vaishnavas, we honor Sun God, Surya Dev. Then Ganapatya. Lord Ganesha. Rupa Goswami, he says in Bhaktisamrita Sindhu, to destroy all the vighnas or all the obstacles from our sadhana and devotional service to Krishna, we may worship and pray to Lord Ganesha. And Lord Ganesha himself is very close, intimate devotee of Sri Narasimha Dev. And by his blessings, Brahmaji says, he gets this strength to destroy the obstacles of entire universe. And that's why we, devotee of Shri Krishna, we honor Ganpati, Lord Ganesh, who is very close servant of Narasimha Dev. And in that relation, we honor, worship and pray to Ganpati also to remove all the obstacles in our devotional life, within and without. And that is how we also honor Lord Ganesha as a Vaishnava, as a devotee of Shri Krishna. And then Shaiva, we, devotees of Shri Krishna, we very much respect, honor and worship Lord Mahadev, Lord Shankar. And why this is so? Because Lord Shiva is Adi Guru. We know we have four sampradayas, and one of the sampradayas, Rudra Sampradaya, is originating from Lord Shiva. And we know in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva's leelas are described and, you know, very elaborately explained in many cantos. But in our Srimad Bhagavatam, the list of 12 Mahajanas, Prahlad Maharaj, when he says, Swayambhur Nada Shambho, Kumaro Kapilo Manu. He says that Lord Mahadev is one of the Mahajan, Lord Shiva is Mahajan. From him, the line of devotional service starts. There are only 12 people in this universe, those who can know little bit fact about Shri Krishna. So anyone who wants knowledge of Shri Krishna, these 12, they are the authorities. And Lord Shiva is one of them. So now Lord Shiva's position is very important to understand for all of us. Brahma says in Brahma Samhita, they're just like a milk turned into curd. Shiram Dadivikara Vishesha, Shiram Yatha Dadivikara Vishesha Yoga. That Lord Vishnu, when he wants to deal with Maya Devi, then Lord Narayan, he wants to deal with Trigunatmaki Maya, Maha Maya, material energy. He assumes the form of Lord Shiva. That's why Shiva is not Jiva Tattva. And Lord Shiva is considered as very intimate, close friend of Shri Krishna and servant of Shri Krishna. And that's why we have Harihar Deity in Mayapur. We go there for worship and we take darshan of Harihar Deity. So he is very dear friend of Krishna. He is Sakha of Shri Krishna and is servant of Shri Krishna. He is Krishna himself when he wants to deal with material nature, Trigunatmaki Maya or Mahamaya. That is what the position of Lord Shiva is. And that's why Lord Shiva, you see, there is no dham for the Vaishnavas on this planet Earth where Lord Shiva doesn't reside. We go to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, we have Gopishwar Mahadev, Chakreshwar Mahadev, Bhuteshwar Mahadev. Everywhere we see Mahadev there. You go Jagannath Puri, there is a Ringraj temple, the Mahadev is there, Bhuvaneshwar. So all the dhams, you go Dwarka, you go anywhere. There is, wherever there is the place of Lord Krishna, Dham Rakshak, Mahadev is always there. How to speak of that? You know, in Nasik, when we installed deities over here in 2010, that time, and this decision was very sudden, there was no prepare, and there was only 1 month to prepare, 21 days to prepare everything. And before Radha Madan Gopal in Nasik was installed, within a week before that, opposite to the that side of the road, Lord Shiva was installed by few people there, staying there, and they invited Lord Shiva and they constructed a beautiful temple of Rameshwar Mahadev. So Lord Shiva, wherever Sri Krishna is worshipped, Lord Shiva is always there. And we see Nandagram, Nandishwar Mahadev, to serve Sri Krishna and his devotees, Lord Shiva personally takes the form of Nandishwar and resides there as a Nandishwar Mahadev. So, Lord Shiva is very special for all of us. Lord Shiva has dham of Kailash. This Kailash dham is beyond this material nature, material universes. And this Kailash dham is eternal. Those who go there, the devotees of Lord Shiva, pure devotees of Lord Shiva, they are also eternal resides there. They are free from death, old age, and disease, and birth. They are as good as liberated. That place is called as well as Vaikuntha. And all in Kailash Dham with Lord Shiva, they always discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, they chant the holy names of Sri Ram and Sri Krishna and Sankarshan, and they are always absorbed in devotional service of Sri Krishna. And that's why we know in India, many they want to die at Kashi. We all know Varanasi or Banaras, Kashi is one of the holiest place in India. And people go there because they know that they get liberation by dying in Kashi. And why is this so? Because anyone who dies at Kashi, Lord Vishwanath Mahadev, when the person is about to die, he comes there and in his ears, he speaks the Tarak Naam, Tarak Mantra, the holy names of Lord Ram and Krishna. And because of that, anyone who dies in Kashi, he gets liberation. And that's why Lord Shiva is the most merciful Vaishnava, the most merciful Acharya. Now, his personality is very important to understand. Now, I would like that you can give your input. You can go to the chat box and you can type it out or you can speak. You can unmute yourself and you can speak regarding that. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Mahadev is mentioned? In Srimad Bhagavatam, where all Lord Shiva is mentioned? In which pastimes? Anyone would like to share? You can unmute yourself.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble presences. In the 10th canto, when Barnasura is fighting, you know, Krishna and Barnasura, you know, war between Krishna and Barnasura, Lord Shiva is there.
Yes, so Lord Shiva mentioned is there, 10th canto, Barnasura and Lord Krishna's war. Yes, your good name, Mataji?
Kamadaki Dasi.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Someone more wants to share where in Srimad Bhagavatam Lord Shiva's glories are mentioned?
In Samudra Manthan pastime, Prabhu.
Yes, your good name, Prabhu.
My name is Sureshwar Shyam, Prabhu. Sureshwar Shyam.
Okay, Sureshwar Shyam, Prabhu. Which canto it comes in, Samudra Manthan?
8th canto or 6th canto, Prabhu?
Eighth canto. Perfect, Prabhu. Yes, very good. And all and where one more important pastime is missing out of Lord Shiva in Srimad Bhagavatam?
Daksha Prajapati, he does.
Yes, perfect. Recently, we have covered this topic.
Yeah.
In the same canto, the dealings between Daksha Prajapati and Lord Shiva. So now, to understand the personality of Lord Shiva, we will just briefly see these three pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam. From 4th canto, from 8th canto, and from 10th canto. Briefly, we just to see the personality. So what kind of personality Lord Shiva is? What kind of Vaishnava, what kind of incarnation of Shiva? Now, Daksha Prajapati was not very interested to marry his beautiful daughter to Lord Shiva because he just saw the externals of Lord Shiva, you know, having a very weird attire and having a very weird habit which a so-called sophisticated person can't accommodate in his mind. So, out of box living of Mahadev, Lord Shiva. And because he was not very happy with that marriage, and when Daksha Prajapati was organizing a great yajna, great sacrifice, many of the devatas and, you know, all the devatas were invited, and even Lord Shiva was also invited. Brahmaji was there, Lord Vishnu was there. And Daksha Prajapati was so powerful demigod. He was so influential. When he entered the assembly, just by seeing his persona, everyone was stood on their feet out of respect for Daksha, except Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So, when Daksha entered inside, he saw that everyone is respecting him. Lord Indra and Chandra, Surya, everyone was respecting the Daksha Prajapati. But when he saw that his own son-in-law, Mahadev, is sitting and, you know, he's just not at all offering me some welcoming words and some respect, or standing on feet, no. And then he saw Brahma, his father was sitting at the place. So then he entered in Lord Shiva and he started to accuse Lord Shiva. He started to criticize and blame Lord Shiva for he has without any reasons. And what reasons he got? He just gave two reasons. The first reason said that you are my son-in-law. Son-in-law is like a disciple and I am your guru, a self-appointed guru. So we can see how this Daksha mentality in our life also. So he says that, you know, I am your guru because you are my son-in-law. You are supposed to respect me always. And second was what? The appearance of Lord Shiva. You know, you have this mundamala and the snakes like ornamented on your body and the crematorium ashes and no proper clothes and, you know, what kind of personality he sees. And he chastised Lord Shiva like anything. He insulted in the entire assembly of devatas like anything. He criticized, he blamed, he accused Lord Shiva, he offended Lord Shiva by all means. Can you imagine? He gave curse to Lord Shiva. And he said that, I am not envious, I am not angry. But this is what the faulty behavior of Lord Shiva, and that's why I am cursing him. And he said that all the devatas will get share in the yajnas, sacrifices. But you, because you are not qualified, you are not up to the mark, I curse you that you will not get any share in any sacrifices of Vedas. And then there was counter cursing by the Nandi's side, Nandishwara side, Lord Shiva's attendants, and then Bhrigu, he cursed, counter cursed all of them. So Lord Shiva, with his entire episode, he was silent. He didn't react it. He didn't took it on heart. He saw that situation is going beyond limit. He just got up and he left the place. Now, can you imagine such a powerful entity? He is himself the special incarnation of Shri Krishna, Shri Vishnu. He is so powerful that he is more than Lord Brahma. He is eternal being. Brahma is not eternal, but he is eternal. His Kailash Dham is eternal. He is the Lord. He is Sarveshwar. But he didn't react it. He didn't took it seriously. He just left the place. This is what the heart of a true Vaishnava. This is the first part of fourth canto. In this case, we see Prachetas. Now, Prachetas were ordered by Prachin Barhi that to go into the forest and please Lord Vishnu, get his blessings and then do your duties, household duties. So when Prachetas, when they entered into the forest, they came to this lake particularly. And Lord Shiva
out of the blue appeared there and instructed them. They never sought after Lord Prachetas, never sought after Lord Shiva. They never prayed Lord Shiva. They never desired Lord Shiva. But by seeing the sincerity of the Prachetas, Lord Shiva, out of compassion, he himself manifested in front of them. He instructed them Rudra Geet and made them perfect Siddhas. Now, who can do that? Now, we also, when someone invites us, then we are happy to go there. But if you are not invited there, then you will not prefer to go there. And here Lord Shiva, for him, Prachetas and Jivas are like, you know, a very, of nothing more important, nothing much importance. But by seeing the sincerity of Prachetas, Lord Shiva himself appeared and he instructed them without asking Higlenath. His compassion overpowered his majesty. What is the sweetness of Lord Shiva? That his compassion and love for the fallen souls overpowers his majesty, his opulences, and his powers. And that's why Lord Shiva is called Bholenath or Ashutosh. He can be pleased very easily. And that's why the demons, they take advantage of this nature of Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva, why we love him? Why we adore him? Why we worship him? Because of this nature of Lord Shiva. He doesn't pretend. He is not artificial. He is so natural. He is so loving. He is so compassionate. He is so of helpful nature. He himself came in front of Prachetas and himself gave them mantra and made them perfect. Then we come to 8th canto. 8th canto we see that when the Samudra Manthan was going on, Shiva was not part anywhere. The Devatas, they were running around. And they were beaten up by the Asuras. They were, you know, chastised and they were defeated, beaten up from their own capitals, Amravati, all the Indras and Chandras and Suryas. So when Daksha was cursing, all the Devatas were there, but no one interfered. Everyone was fearful of Prajapati, Daksha. So they didn't interfere. They just remained neutral. They just listened to the insults of Lord Shiva. And now here in Samudra Manthan, all heavenly planets, again to get their power, their prestige, their sense enjoyment, their stability, they are doing Samudra Manthan till the poison comes up. And the entire universe is taken over by destroying this poison. And then Lord Vishnu takes all the Devatas and goes to Lord Shiva. And what they say is, you are so great. You are so important. Here it is mentioned. Katam, katam charachara gurum nirvair shanta vigraham atma ravam katam dveshti jagato daivatam mat. That is so powerful that he is a guru of charachar. Entire his jagat guru nirvairam. He is never envious of anyone. For him there is no enemies. Shanta vigraham. He is so peaceful. Atma ramam. He is atma ram. He is satisfied in himself. That he doesn't need anyone outside to satisfy himself. And then all these Devatas are going to him with Lord Vishnu directing them towards him. And they are requesting that you are so powerful, you are so merciful, you are so compassionate. So please drink this poison. What kind of proposal this is? And Lord Shiva, he agreed without giving any excuse, without remembering past. He says to his wife Bhavani, Durga Devi, tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayashojana param aradhanam taddi purushasya khilatmana. What is that? Tapyante lokatapena. When someone suffers because of others' pain, they are called sadhava. These are the sadhus. And anyone who suffers for others' pain, to relieve them from their pain and suffering, param aradhanam taddi. This is the highest worship purushasya khilatmana. Of the Paramatma, Shri Krishna. What is the highest worship of Shri Krishna? To take the sufferings of others as our own self and help them relieve their suffering. This is the Param Aradhanam. This is the highest sadhana. This is the highest worship of Shri Krishna. And by quoting this shloka, Lord Mahadev, he drank that entire ocean of poison and he became Neelakantha. And that's what he says to Parvati Devi, Durga, his wife. Then we see again in 8th canto, this pastime comes in Samudra Manthan Leela, that when Mohini Murti appeared and she distributed nectar to all the devatas and the Danavas were bereft of all this nectar, Lord Shiva came to know that this kind of female incarnation of Sri Vishnu has come and I could not see that. So he went to Vaikuntha, taking his wife Durga Devi, Bhavani, Uma and all the associates. He went to Vaikuntha and he requested Lord Narayan, please, I want to show that incarnation, very special incarnation which no one heard before, Mohini incarnation. And then Lord Narayan, he laughed. And then he took the special incarnation for Lord Shiva. The Mohini Murti for Danavas or for the Asuras or the demons was of material nature, of Mahamaya nature. But for Lord Shiva, he took his Yoga Maya. Because Lord Shiva cannot be disturbed by material nature. He can't be agitated. He can't be cheated or illusioned by the material nature. Trigunatmika Maya. So Lord Vishnu, he took beauty and by the appearance of Mohini Murti, he decided to run after her. And she ran. And Lord Shiva was running after her like anything. His wife, Durga Devi, Uma Devi was seeing all his associates, Nandishwar and all the sages, Pujakas, Sadhaka, Charanas, they were seeing the holy places where all the great devotees and ascetic Lord Shiva was blindly running after Mohini Murti, wanted to embrace Mohini Murti. And when this episode, when Sri Krishna, he uncovered, he took away his Yoga Maya potency, and when Lord Shiva came to senses. Now just imagine this kind of embarrassment, this kind of insult. Who can take it? Lord Shiva is eternal being. His wife Durga Devi is eternal potency of Sri Krishna. But here, in front of his all the family and associates, his all the followers of Lord Shiva and devotees of Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva was illusioned, tricked by Lord Vishnu. He should be insulted. He should be feel embarrassed about it. He should be agitated that how come you can treat me like this? Would you like to make a joker out of me, a fool out of me? But what Lord Shiva's reaction was after the entire this episode of Mohini Murti, Atmamsha Bhutam Tam Mayam Bhavrishimukhya Nam Pritya Achashta Bharata. After the entire episode of this, Lord Shiva never felt a guilt and he was never ashamed. Out of love and out of great pride in Sri Krishna, what he says that to his wife, Ai vyapashyat tvam ajasya mayam parasya pumsa paradevataya aham kalanam rishabho vimukhe mujye yaya vashonyo kimuta asutandra. What he says that, my dear wife Parvati, Durga Devi, tvai apashyat, You saw what kind of maya, ajasya of Lord Vishnu. Parasya tumsa paradevataya. He is parampurush, he is paradevata. Aham kalanam rishabho vimukhyo. Out of all the incarnations of Lord Vishnu, I am chief. I am Shiva Tattva. But I was also illusioned by, I was also tricked by, I was also cheated by that special maya of Shri Vishnu. Yatha Yaya Vashanya Kimuta Asanta. What to speak of the conditioned souls or insignificant jiva? How can they can able to face this Maya of Lord Vishnu? See how great my Lord is. That was the consciousness of Lord Shiva. And that's why Lord Shiva is so great that, you know, after going through such kind of embarrassment, he never felt shyness or embarrassment. He was proud on the power of Lord Vishnu, his master. And he glorified and he's speaking to his wife. Just see how I was illusioned and bewildered by my Lord. What to speak of the tiny insignificant souls of this material world? Who can, you know, stop them by getting illusioned by my? This is what the consciousness of Lord Shiva is. That's why he's Bholena. That's why he's, you know, so special for all the Vaishnavas. And that's why we adore him, we worship him, and we honor him. And in case of Barnasura also, the 10th canto, the Mataji was mentioning that why Lord Shiva, he took weapons against Sri Krishna, his eternal master, his friend, his lover. Why? Because just like Bhishmadev, he fought against Pandavas. It was the will of Sri Krishna. This time also it was the will of Sri Krishna, and because Barnasura, he had taken shelter of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva had blessed him that, you know, I will protect you. I will give you eternal life. So he gave that promise. So anyone who takes the shelter of the devotees, Krishna has to take that more seriously. That's why Krishna says, Kamteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashati. That Arjuna, you go and tell, whatever my devotee promises will never go in vain. I can break my own promise, but if my devotee gives promise, I will take care that promise has to be fulfilled. Same case of Bhishmadev. And that's why here Lord Shiva took the side of Barnasura. There was a great fight, huge fight amongst the Yadavas and the forces of Barnasura and Lord Shiva. And Barnasura was about to die by the Sudarshan Chakra of Sri Krishna. And that time Lord Shiva, he took shelter of Sri Krishna and said, please don't kill him. Because you have promised to Prahlad that in your dynasty, I will never kill anyone. So Lord Shiva was knowing that this was the promise of Krishna, Narasimha Dev to Prahlad Maharaj, that your descendants, I will not kill them now. After killing the Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimha Dev was feeling so guilty that I killed the father of my dear devotee Prahlad. So Lord Shiva reminded Sri Krishna that you have given him this promise and that's why I'm protecting him. So you have to take care of that. And then Lord Krishna was so pleased on Lord Shiva. He blessed Barnasura and Barnasura became eternal associate of Lord Shiva in Kailash Dham. So this is how Lord Shiva's personality is. And now see, Lord Shiva is the in charge of tamas, the mode of ignorance. Those who are tamasic people, those who are in the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva is in charge, guardian and protector of them. Those who are most lowest in their consciousness, the ghosts and all these pretas and pishachas and kushmandas, this word comes in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva takes care of them. Out of compassion, those who are most neglected, those who are most degraded, Lord Shiva takes their responsibility to upgrade them, to elevate them on the spiritual platform and to make them the devotees of Sri Krishna. This is the most thankless service no one wants to do. In ISKCON also, there are many devotees, those who are like Lord Shiva. Because of their compassion and their kindness, they have to. Those, you know, who are disobeying the authorities or those who are not practicing very sincerely, those who are might be damaging also to the movement. But the devotees of Lord, like Lord Shiva is very much needed. Even to take care of them, to console them, to pacify them, to bring them again slowly, slowly on the path of Krishna consciousness. And that's why Lord Shiva, he is also called Tamasi, because he takes care of all these degraded souls or jivas. He is not one of them. He is the highest, most perfected Siddha, the lover of Sri Krishna. And that's why he has given the most thankless to this kind of degraded souls, fallen souls. And that's why Lord Shiva is so special for all of us. And that's why we need his blessings, we need his mercy, we need his personality to meditate upon, to get inspired by and to follow in his footsteps and try to serve and love Sri Krishna and his devotees. And that's why we should pray on this particular day of Uthan Ekadashi, the first day of Bhishma Panchak, very auspicious and very holy day, that Lord Shiva, the whole Vrindavan, everywhere Lord Shiva is present there. So by his blessing also, we can perform our sadhana, our seva properly to our spiritual masters, to the devotees, to the Radha Madan Gopal and Srimad Bhagavatam, holy names and the mission of compassion. And definitely by the grace of Lord Shiva, we can progress very nicely on the path of Krishna consciousness. So I would like to conclude my session by chanting this beautiful prayer to Lord Shiva. So you all can unmute and you can chant after me one of the glorification of Lord Shiva. Very famous. You might be knowing this particular glorification. So you can all fold your hands and remembering the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, the Mahajan, the great stalwart devotee and expansion of Sri Krishna. You can repeat it after me. if you want to unmute, you can unmute yourself. And after that, if someone has any question, we can have the question after this prayer. So please repeat after me. Karpura Gauram. Karuna Avataram.
Karuna Avataram.
Sarasaram.
Sarasaram.
Bhujagendraharam.
Bhujagendraharam.
Sada Vasantam.
Sada Vasantam.
Hridaya Ravinde.
Hridaya Ravinde.
Bhavam Bhavani.
Bhavam Bhavani.
Sahitam Namami. So this is a very beautiful shloka, Karpura Gauram. The color of Lord Shiva is like Karpur, Camphor, Karpura Gauram. Karuna Avataram, just like Nityananda Prabhu is Karuna Avataram, he is the devotee of Sankarshan Lord Shiva, that's why he is also Karuna Avataram. Samsara Saram, he is the father and mother of this material creation, he is the essence of this material creation. Samsara Saram, Bhujagendra Haram. He is ornamented by the snakes, all the ornaments are snakes. Bhujagendra Haram, Sada Vasantam, always resides Hridaya Ravinde, in everyone's heart. Lord Shiva, he resides in this material world in everyone's heart. Sada Vasantam, Hridaya Ravinde, Bhavam Bhavani. I offer my respects to Lord Shiva with his wife Uma or Parvati Devi. So this is the glorification of Lord Shiva. So thank you all very much. So I should stop here. If someone has any question, we can ask or discuss, or else we can stop our meeting.
Prabhuji, thank you very so much for very enlightening class today, Prabhuji. It was very grateful to you. And if anybody have any questions, devotees, please go ahead.
No, it's very so much, she says.
Thank you so
much.
Hare Krishna, thank you all very much. Happy Vishnu Panchak to all of you.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
We should end our meeting. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Very clear.
Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah. Clear explanation of deity worship, this demigod worship and everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so very much for the wonderful class and for everything that you shared about Lord Shiva. I had just one question. You mentioned the 12 authorities on Lord Krishna, and I was wondering where we could find that. Is that in the Bhagavatam, all of the 12?
12 Mahajanas, na? You are 12 Mahajans, na? 12 authorities.
Ah, okay.
Is that you're asking, Mataji?
Yes, yes. I thought you said 12 authorities. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 12 authorities, okay. Yes. So it's mentioned in Bhagavatam only. Yamraj, the Lord Yama, he is instructing in Ajamil episode.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Thank you so much once again, Prabhuji, for sharing your wonderful realizations. Thanks again. And we look forward for your association again in the future, Prabhuji. If nobody have any questions or comments, for Prabhuji, you can end the call here.
Yes, Mataji.
Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai
His Grace
Narasimha Kripa Prabhuji Ki Jai
Jai Jai.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yeah, so we have...